This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Sandspans Radio. Your Tamagotchi is dead in a drawer somewhere.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm also Joel.
Today we're looking at Pokemon Let's Go Small Rodent Edition and other games. Okay, so I recently got the Pokemon Eevee edition. Let's go, boys. Look, I played it. I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I realized that because I never actually played any of the previous Pokemon games. Yeah. So it didn't really grasp
You've
me.
Never played a Pokemon game?
No.
Wow.
It's a crazy thing to miss.
Not even like the first
I never played
ones.
The original ones. Mm. I have, sorry, I do tell a lie. I did play one of them for 3DS. But it was only for like an hour. I just don't think I should clarify that I've played it.
No,
like,
that's fair.
It just didn't count. It just didn't count.
Yeah.
That's like my experience with Gran Turismo.
My experience with Driver 1, where I was like, what is happening?
Can't crash my car too much or the cops yell at me.
I could get out of my car, maybe. Or maybe
no,
that was Driver 2.
That was Driver 3.
Well, there you go.
So yeah, I wouldn't say that I've played a Pokemon game. Wait, no. Pokemon Snap.
Yeah, okay.
Pokemon Snap. Count because I've played
in this
a lot
context,
of that.
No.
So then, no, I
did,
have not
it add
played...
to nostalgia of this game?
No, it
then
did
it does not.
I did
count.
Watch the cartoon though.
Did that add to the nostalgia?
Maybe
of this game?
A little bit, but okay. I realized I was playing this. I'm like, this is just not for me. I don't know. Like, it didn't really grasp me too much. So I figure if I'm reviewing this game, I feel I will be doing this a bit of a disservice,
an injustice, sure.
An injustice.
You would be violating the journalistic integrity that is Thumb Cramps.
Absolutely. Exactly. So
we only review games that we have played or haven't played, but we review the loading screens. If you can't deliver either of those things today, then maybe you're not fit for the review service today.
Exactly. So I figured to keep the journalistic integrity of this show.
Yes.
I figured I would handball my assignment to someone who has played previous Pokemon games and then also played Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu Edition.
Oh.
Good friend of the show, Cass.
Hello!
Welcome.
Cass Stolen Vela.
So, Cass, a friend of the show from a bunch of other Sandspants radio shows across the network. Including
all of them.
Why Am I Sad? D&D is for Nerds. Shut Up a Second. The Occasional Plumbing the Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I'm
knows?
A nerd who can smile and cry.
Yeah. So, Cass, you've played it?
What Thoughts? Did you think?
I thought it was lovely.
Thanks for listening. See you next week.
So with the Pokemon games, I've played most of them, like most generations. I've never played the Ruby generation, but I've played, I think, every other one, at least in some capacity.
Oh, man, that makes you miss out on Groundon.
Yeah, the Ruby generation is my favorite generation, yeah. Just saying.
Oh, well, together we make up the complete...
That's good.
Pokemon experience.
Yes. Put us in a blender and drink us down to know what you missed out on for Pokemon, Zammit.
All right, I will.
Groundons, your Mudkips.
Did you play the Ruby and Sapphire
Yeah,
generation?
There's just so many Pokemon that I forget which ones are
Lotad,
which.
Lotad, Lombre, Ludicolo. All you need to know.
Cultural appropriation, the Pokemon.
He's cute before it gets cultural appropriation. I never evolve him because he makes me uncomfortable. I just keep him as a lone brain.
That's funny because that means you've got like, if in like in the anime sense, you're like looking at your Pokemon, you're like, don't level up.
Are you going to evolve that with a Leaf Stone?
Probably not.
Maybe I won't.
Why not?
I don't know if I'm comfortable owning that. Yeah,
Yes, thoughts on the game, initial gameplay, how did it all go? Was it fun?
Yes, so
I'm a big fan of the dramatic pauses. I mean, we can see what you're about to say because your face is like a sun ray.
Beam. Ray of sun, maybe?
I get excited. Yep. My face has to calm down a sec so I can let words come out of it.
You're basically glowing.
Yeah.
I love Pokemon a lot. Yes. Oh, overwhelmed. Got to start. Okay. So first of all, I can see why a lot of people might not be satisfied or happy with this game.
Okay.
Because it does. It's the first Pokemon game in a while that takes like a big step away from how it was originally, and it is essentially like it's a remake of the first gen. So like Red, Yellow, Blue. Mm-hmm. And it's really different. And Pokemon were doing a thing for a while where they would sort of adapt to their new games, and sort of it was like every sort of generation they did, it would be adding a couple of new things. So, you know, being able to play with your Pokemon, being able to feed them and having that more interaction. So with the first couple of games, it was very much like you go through, fight Pokemon, fight the leaders, get through. And mm-hmm. it's always been, you know, centered around friendship and stuff, which is lovely.
Take names, take badges.
I never could evolve any Pokemon through happiness because none of them were happy with me.
I can imagine you sitting.
I never had any money. That's why. I was always like, I could give them a haircut, get a Espeon or an Umbreon. And I'm like, I don't have the money for a haircut.
I don't have money for a haircut. I just cut my own hair.
Yeah. So this is the first one to take a step in a more new direction and what they do. So I was playing along with Zammit as well. Mm-hmm. And Zammit, you played Pokemon Go. I didn't because when I was younger, I got scared that people were tracking my location and locked my phone services. So I, when it came around, I couldn't play Pokemon Go because I couldn't remember the password.
That's incredible.
So you turned off your location services but then locked it behind a passcode that wasn't the same passcode to unlock your phone so you couldn't unlock the location services and therefore couldn't play Pokemon Go?
Yes.
I don't know if you missed out on much.
No, well,
yeah, to be honest.
It wasn't specifically to go out of Pokemon Go. I was just a frightened child, so I was like, I'll shut myself out of location services. I'll put a lock on there so it's safe. I don't know what I was thinking because if someone took my phone, they'd know where my phone was, so there wasn't a point in having the location services protected.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
Yeah, didn't think, just panicked.
Unless you were you also thinking that like maybe if the phone knew where you were, then the government knew where you were, and maybe you'd upset the government?
Oh, what am I doing that's going to upset anyone?
Yeah, I was trying to help you here with like being like, any form of reasoning, like how some people like tape over the webcam on their computer.
You know my... Oh, I haven't... I got to go tape my webcam. We had a Skype meeting recently and it's untaped. It's untaped. People are going to watch me sleep. I shouldn't have my laptop in my bed. Anyway.
Or open, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. It's probably... Look, there are lots of things that I could fix in my life, but Pokemon isn't one of them.
Just quickly, Cass. Jackson.
Yeah.
How do you leave your laptop?
What I do is I bend it all the way back around till it smashes, go, oh, and you go to sleep in the debris.
Do you maybe, when you've used your laptop and it's gotten quite warm in a room full of bugs, leave it open and then moths get into it?
Oh, yeah, back in the day. My room doesn't get that hot anymore, though.
Because you live in a garage now?
Yeah, it's nice and cool.
Oh, that problem got fixed from other reasons that weren't you.
Absolutely. Anyway, Pokemon.
Yes, moths aside.
Moths aside, my lack of Pokemon Go aside, apparently this game is a lot more like Pokemon Go.
Okay.
So the main mechanism change that I noticed when I was playing the game was that instead of battling Pokemon to catch them. You use Pokeballs and berries to try and catch them.
Oh, okay.
I think that is a really nice change because it breaks up the game heaps. It gives you two skills to build within it. I know when I play games, it can get quite tedious. But I can become quite like annoyed just doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If I'm playing a game for many hours, which I would like to do.
Yeah. Like, this is the one thing that, because I did play maybe a couple hours of Let's Go Pokemon, but one thing I was noticing was that, yeah, I'm like, oh, this is exactly like Pokemon Go. I'm just chucking or hucking a ball at a Pokemon to catch it. And initially, I was like, I don't know if I like this or not, because I'm like, I kind of like that turn-based RPG kind of thing. And not knowing a lot about Pokemon, for doing that was like, oh, this is how I understand the how everything works. Because as a sort of a newer player, I'm like, I don't know if rock beats plants or if water is good against a psychic. So, again, I was like hoping for those things to kind of you learn by sort of doing it a lot. But then again, fighting so many say Zubats over and over and over and over again can get quite annoying.
Yeah, I don't know if you're like, you know, often
Mount Moon.
Yeah, well, Mount Moon Zubats and stuff. But what I was going to say is, you know, Victory Road before you get to the Elite Four?
Yes.
Where that is hell, because you just have to fight Pokemon after Pokemon after Pokemon, and they're all like a high level, so like fighting them is a proper battle and it's really frustrating. But I feel like, I don't know if that's the case, but because you're not battling them, that whole thing is just so much smoother and so much less frustrating.
Yeah, I found it really good because what they've also done as well is you see the Pokemon walking around.
Oh, okay.
So they'll materialize and dematerialize every now and then. So sometimes you do just get the random, oh, you've run into one and you can't really see it. But in most cases, you can see all the Pokemon walking around, which is really fun because as you start off, you get into the habit of seeking them out.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. So it becomes really fun and you're sort of like chasing Pokemon around. And if you see a rare Pokemon, you just get really excited and you run towards it. So you can, I haven't come across a shiny. Apparently you can see when they're shiny.
Ooh, man, that's so good.
You can see they have a different color aura around them if they're giant or very tiny. So if you want to seek out a really small version of it, I don't think it has any. I haven't noticed any of my big or small Pokemon.
Have you been trying to exclusively catch little Pokemon?
No. I have not, but because I haven't. I don't really know the point of that yet.
I know there is. If you catch, say, you go in for nothing but Weedles, and you catch like a bunch of Weedles in a row, you get a bonus, and that causes maybe a rare Pokemon or something to pop up.
Oh, okay, that's an interesting.
So it's like, oh, well done, you've caught 10 in a row. Heather Blue.
Yeah, you do get a countdown. So I feel like a lot of the processes
that's stressful.
Oh no, count up. Sorry.
Less stressful.
Yes.
There's one, two. What? Three, fine. But three.
What?
Two.
What's going to happen next?
One.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Help.
Here's another Weedle.
Oh, good.
Not even.
It'll sting you. Oh, bad.
I find that a lot of the processes in the game that people were using heaps and heaps and heaps have been streamlined.
Okay.
So they're a lot easier, which I guess upon initial inspection, you can be like, oh, it's lazy, but I think it just makes it a lot faster. So things like, you know, in the old Pokemon games, you've got your box, so you have to go to a Pokemon center if you want to swap Pokemon around. In this one, it's just your little computer's on you the whole time.
That's so good.
It's so much easier. So if you catch a Pokemon,
technology.
Yeah, you can just swap them around. And because when you catch Pokemon, you haven't attacked them at all, you can just keep swapping them. And once you've caught them, they're at like their full capacity.
Yep.
So you can start playing with your Pokemon as soon as you get them. It seems like it's gone for a much friendlier approach, which I think is very sweet.
Yeah.
It is, but I don't know, like beating something to an inch of its life and then being, you're mine, has a certain appeal
I'm missing. I remember so much with older Pokemon games where you're like, you catch something, but you don't have room in your inventory, so it goes to your box. Then you go and you're like, I should get it out, but you see it's got like 20% health, and you're like, nah, I don't need it. Like that.
Or it's just like, oh, good, I've beaten it with an inch of its life. One more time. He's dead. Yeah. Ah, it's a dead Pokemon. Ah, jeez.
And I get that that's super satisfying, but it's building completely.
Okay.
No, like when you're just like, yeah, one HP. Oh, got him. Yeah. Got him good.
Yes.
But with this one, it's building a different skill set.
Have a berry. Have another berry. Are you full? You're too sleepy to fight? Oh, Pokeball.
It's kind of, is it a bit like the Safari Zone in other Pokemon games?
It is a
Can you throw rocks? That sounds like a rude question. But in Safari Zone, you can.
Yeah. So you don't throw rocks. You throw different berries, and the berries do different things. So you might have Pokemon that... Yeah.
Is there a hard berry that hurts them?
Can we circle back? You could huck rocks.
Every Safari Zone, you're just like, hey, idiot. And sometimes it'd run away, and you'd be like, that's very fair.
Hey, idiot. Rhino is upset. Oh, Rhyhorn. Rhyhorn's upset.
Rhino is a very unimaginative name for a Pokemon.
Hippo's sad.
Oh, that's another mechanism they've sort of made a bit more streamlined. You can rename your Pokemon at any time. So instead of having to go find the person to rename everything, you can name them at any time. What did you call your...
My Eevee? Eevee.
Yeah, and did you... Because you get
My
your rival...
Jackson.
What would you call your rival, Jackson?
Jackson.
Yes. Would you call yourself Jackson?
Yes. So I'm confused.
An
so
evil
I'm basically
twin.
Doing Fight Club.
Yeah.
It's all me.
It was good. I'm gonna I name made my girls rival. Hammett, and she had an Eevee. It was good.
It's good.
That's good.
Well, because I was using a company switch, I called myself Cash, and then my rival's name is Credit.
That pleases me so much.
Very proud of the joke. And I named my Pikachu Peaky because a friend of Joel Dusha and mine taught me that that word means you're feeling like you're about to vomit. And I thought that was very funny. So
that's great. Another thing you were telling me is that basically all experience is shared across all Pokemon, so you don't have to get an XP share.
Yeah. So as I played games throughout the gen sort of going up, it's sort of like it became an item you could get. And then you made a Pokemon hold it, and then it turned into an item you could get and just turn it on. And now it's just something that it's not even an item. So as soon as you are, if you catch Pokemon, you get experience. If you're Pokemon battle, you get experience. I'm pretty sure the one you're fighting with gets like more.
Okay.
But everyone in your party gets share.
That's so good.
In the more recent Pokemon games, there's been, like, you get the XP share pretty much straight off the bat, and that's how it works.
It seems like the kind of thing where they're like, if you're going to use it, because you don't, you give it to your first Pokemon, you forget about it, basically. Mm. So, that's great. I like it.
No, it's like if rather than being a held item now, it's like a gadget, and it affects all the Pokemon. But, like, I'm pretty sure
you have to turn it on.
The newest one, like...
Sun and Moon.
Yeah, Sun and Moon, you get it almost, like, straight away, like, before the first gym.
Yeah, so they've just streamlined a lot of processes to make it, and I guess it is more interactive, like you get to play with your Pokemon more. You will have your little companion that you start off with, like a Pikachu or an Eevee, with you, but then you can have a Pokemon following you because your Pikachu or Eevee just stays on your person the whole time.
Cash, I'm pretty sure if you get a big Pokemon, you end up riding it.
Yeah, you do! Get a Snorlax, you get to grab onto his belly and he runs around.
That's good.
That's so good. Speaking of running, do you need running shoes?
No, you don't. You know how to run because you're a person.
That was the best news. The most frustrating bit is walking all the way to the second town and then they're like, here's some shoes to run back, idiot.
Hey, look down. See those legs? Use them, idiot.
God,
you're a dumb kid. You're 10 and you don't know how to run.
I didn't have the right shoes. It's not my fault.
I was barefoot on the way up.
I had to be careful I wasn't going to step on a Weedle.
With the finding Pokemon in the grass and just seeing like their thing, I remember in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, you could kind of do that, but it was just like you didn't know quite what Pokemon it was.
Oh, yeah.
There were like different silhouettes for different kinds of Pokemon. So you're like, that's a dog-ish one. That's probably going to be like a rodent. And you had to sneak up. Is there any of that or is it just... there it is, run into it kind of deal.
Yeah, it's there it is, run into it. There's no sneaking. As I said, they materialize and dematerialize, so you like sort of run for it as you're...
Like people in my life.
I think that's so much better because I hated you'd sneak up, you'd be like, what is this guy? What is this guy? And then it would be a bloody whooper or some garbage. And you'd be like, God, that's not what I'm looking for.
I wanted a Zigzagoon.
There are still places, like I know in the caves and stuff, one of the, I don't know, love-hate things about Pokemon is going into caves and then just not being able to escape from anything.
Yeah.
I felt, as a seasoned player, it felt very nice to go in a cave and feel safe. You can still have repels and lures and they stay away or come nearer to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are sections in some caves where you get to a point and then all these Pokemon are popping up and you're just like, I can't move.
Man, cool. That's good. That's kind of nice that they kept that in then, that kind of stressful cave element to the game. That's kind of good.
And the sizes are there. I think some of the sizes seem a bit off when you see them, but like I was in a cave and there was an onyx. I couldn't walk around it. It was just too big.
Did you catch it?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Cool. Onyx, pal. How many Pokemon have you caught?
I think I've only caught 46 at the moment.
Okay.
Different Pokemon. You can, because to help with the training up of getting better at catching things, there are little goals within the game, which I won't spoil, but there are little goals within the game that you can do by catching just volume of Pokemon, so it doesn't matter how many.
Oh, okay.
You can't free your Pokemon in this game.
They're yours forever now.
But you send them back to Professor Oak for research, and then when you if you catch a lot of Pokemon and send them back, he'll give you rewards and things like that that can help the rest of your party.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
I can just imagine Professor Oak being like, yeah, just send the Pokemon here for research.
Now, before we go into a thumb score.
The coveted thumb score.
I've noticed a lot of positives coming from Mar for Pokemon.
Every time you open your mouth to talk about Pokemon, rainbows and sunshine comes out.
Yeah. So any negatives? Anything
you hate?
Oh, you know what? Nah.
I've got Pikachu.
Yeah. Yes.
And I...
He sucks.
I thought that was going to be like, I got Pikachu, which is great, but I hate Eevee. So if there was like, had the Eevee one, I'd hate this game.
Oh, no, I just heard that with Eevee, because as you go through the game, you get more and more things you can do, because you get like accessories and outfits. I wish the outfits were better, but I'm not finished the game yet, so I'm guessing they're just going to exponentially improve.
Probably, yeah.
You can put little bows on their tails and stuff, which is beautiful. I would love, with Eevee, apparently, as you progress through the game, you can give Eevee bangs, which I don't think is an option with Pikachu, and I'm miffed.
Oh, that sucks.
But that, I guess it would be weird if you could give Pikachu bangs, because that's not how their hair works, or fur, I guess.
Yeah.
The only times I was ever sort of... Yeah.
I don't know. There's a difference. It's like, you know, you go to a dog groomer and you're like, I'd like this haircut. It's the difference between going to me like, put this wig on my chihuahua, please.
Which I'm a fan of.
Yeah, we don't give animals wigs enough.
That's
true.
I think it's because far and wide, genuinely...
Generally?
Genuinely?
Generally, they hate it.
Yeah.
Dogs... They might look like they like clothes, but they also much prefer to be nude.
I just assume dogs don't know when they have clothes on.
What is this thing?
Go on.
I think the only things I've sort of been annoyed at within the game have been like going through all the tutorial stuff again, but I think it's really well designed for new players and it hasn't all been completely like, because... As the game mechanisms has changed, it's sort of nice. I feel the need to go into every single house and talk to every single person there. And sometimes they don't have anything interesting to say and that annoys me. But that's just on me. So I don't think I can fault the game for that. And it is also, you know, aimed for kids. So I don't think I really have many negatives. Aside from things that I know are personal preference, and I don't think they're anything wrong with the game. I think it's just the fact that I've played so much Pokemon before, so it's like walking around, I'm like, ah, oh my god. Oh, something really good that I absolutely love about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know how like you'll go and talk to like your rival or whatever, and I think in this game it's your best friend and rival, so they've combined it, because in one game it's like your best friend and one game is your rival, and it's like, you know, you can have both.
Oh, that's good.
It's nice. It shows the duality of man. if you like chat with your rival, they're like, oh, we should go to this city. They'll ask, do you want me to show you the way? If you say yes, you just end up there straight away.
Oh,
you
don't have fast travel.
Fast travel. It's so good. But you have the option, like, do you want me to take you there? You can be like, nah, and you'll make your way home back.
No, actually, you're an idiot. I'll meet you there in a couple of hours.
Jump on my Persian and have them leap across for me.
Yes.
Oh, actually, no, that's annoying. This one thing that annoys me. If you're riding on a Persian and you're in a cave and you're trying to inspect every single rock to see if there's a hidden special thing, which sometimes there are. So again, I have to do it for every rock.
Well, yeah,
of course.
If there's nothing in the rock, because you're riding on Persian's back and assumably any other mounted animal, it assumes you're trying to check in your Pokemon, which you can do and is adorable, but it'll take a few seconds to be like, what's Persian thinking? This is what it's thinking. Yeah. What are you doing? I'm like, just tell me. Because you can just go across a wall and do that really quick turn of this joystick to be like, check, and just keep pressing A to be like, what's in these rocks?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do that when you're on the back of a Persian. And I could solve this by getting off, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, why would you even have the Persian then if that was what you had to do? I get it.
I do like going into the, when you inspect your Pokemon in the menu, you can be like, what is the personality of my Pokemon? And I love that some are sassy.
Yeah.
Can you get negative ones like angry, upset,
rude,
cut,
greedy?
fat.
Born cut. Hatched cut.
I want just that tattooed a dirty on... liar.
Filthy.
You can't clean him no matter how much you try.
Sick.
That's something as well. You can't like, in the same way that you can sort of interact and you can like use your finger because it's on the Switch as a touchscreen, you can like play with Pikachu and give them pats and stuff. You can't do that with any other Pokemon.
Yeah, that would annoy me, especially since in the previous games you kind of could.
You could Pokemon-a-me in the French-themed game. Mm. That was lovely. You could pat them and give them snacks and stuff.
I like poking their ears.
I like putting my hand through ghost Pokemon.
Yeah, this is good.
Hey, Gengar.
My hand's cold.
Quite a lot of your Pokemon hated you.
They were not fans.
Why is your happiness low? I put my hand inside your skull, your ghost skull, all the time.
Yeah, what even?
Yeah, okay. Look, big mystery.
All right, so Cass, I think you're ready for it.
Yep.
What is your coveted thumb cramps thumb score for Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu Edition?
4 thumbs and a knuck.
Whoa, that's a huge score.
I'm loving
4 thumbs and a knuck.
Heaps that it lost a knuckle, presumably because you couldn't check rocks on your Persian. And I'm with you.
Pros, everything. Cons, can't check rocks on my Persian. 4 thumbs and a knock.
Can't pat every Pokemon.
Yeah, true.
Patting Persian too much. my two negatives on the game.
The pat ratio is a mess on this.
Okay, so before we get into what other games we've been playing, let's just have a quick word from our sponsors, maybe.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Also, if you want to grab a set of Sandspans pins for a limited time only, we have them available from our website, sandspansradio.com/merch, or click the Pins and Posters tab. Once again, that's sandspansradio.com/merch. Now, Jack, what have you been playing?
So I've been playing this game on the Switch called Nefarious. It's a little indie game, and I really like the idea. It's a game that I've enjoyed a lot in spite of itself. So there's a lot of things in it presumably I should hate. The art style is really anime-y and it just puts me off.
That rules!
The writing is also really anime-y.
Hell yeah!
That puts me off as well.
That sounds fun!
The game is really floaty to play and that is, it's a side-scrolling platformer. That's really annoying. Nothing really feels like it connects in any kind of reasonable way. But
so nefarious?
Yes, nefarious. But the idea of it is so... Something, I don't know, really appeals to me. So basically, instead of playing as the hero of the story, you play as the villain at the end of the game.
Nefarious.
You are a villain whose name might be X something. I haven't paid attention. This is a very good example of story v gameplay. And instead of going through the level and fighting the boss and saving the princess, you go through the level and kidnap the princess and fight the hero. And all of the boss fights at the end of each level are based on like classic boss fights from early platformers. So there's one that's like, or not even platformers, one is like a Final Fantasy boss fight where you're the big villain and you have to kill the three heroes.
One is
like a Sonic the Hedgehog one where you have like a floating contraption that you're in and you're swinging around a big fist that you're trying to like destroy the hero with, you know, and the hero is basically like a Sonic the Hedgehog X-Beat.
Ah, yeah. It is not the type of anime art style that I thought you meant.
It is not nice looking. And I kind of put a lot of it down to budget in a way because it's a very small indie game.
It looks like Beautiful Joe, but wrong.
Yeah. And the writing, there was a section in the middle where all of a sudden I was in a dating game show and I've never tapped X and ignored dialogue quicker because I just didn't care. But it's got a lot of fun, sort of like, there's no power-ups. Well, I mean, you can kind of upgrade like your main attack and your health and stuff.
Yeah.
But every princess you kidnap, you get a power from, which
Do
I thought
stack?
Was really cool.
Huh? Do they stack?
No, so you can only kidnap one princess at a time.
And that's like set per level, that's right?
But then the level will have like a gameplay element that you have to... So one princess, you kidnap one princess and she gives you like an extra jump because she's like a wasp lady and you have her on your shoulder.
Yeah.
And every time you jump, her wings help you hover a little bit. But then another one you go to kidnap and she's like this angry little dwarf princess and she leaps on your back and all of a sudden she's like, no, I'm going to throw axes and... I'm riding you, and the whole level is like a, you know, those levels where you can't stop moving.
Yep,
it's like that, and she's just riding you through the level as you're trying to fight off enemies. And then obviously you bring, well, you're the villain of the game, but
did you kill the princesses at the end?
No,
of the level?
You're trying to collect them all so that you can make a monarchy powered gun, which is pretty funny.
That's right.
Great.
That is good. Have you finished the game?
No, I haven't finished the game because I'm close to it. I'm on like the last couple princesses. And I thought, because every time you finish a level, you go back to your big floating dreadnought ship.
Yep.
And all the princesses are there, mm-hmm. and they kind of all end up on your side, and there's all this weird romance stuff that I'm really not here for.
Sounds like anime!
Yeah, it's very annoying. But then, you know, sometimes you chat to them and you unlock a level, and you get to go back to, like, that new level and use that princess and use their power specifically for that level.
Ah!
Which is quite fun. So there's one thing where I chatted to the wasp princess, and she's like, oh, I know where some buried treasure is. So we did a water level, and we did it in the thing I used to fight the boss of her level. Like, it was the Sonic the Hedgehog. It was like a floating ball with a fist on a chain.
Yeah, that's so went, that's it's like classic so Sonic. Robotnik. What's his name? Eggman.
Eggman, yeah. And so that's really fun. And the whole thing, I'm assuming eventually I'll discover that my classic protagonist, who is like in the fictional game that the boss is from, is a bad guy, and I'm kind of becoming a good guy, which is annoying, because I would like a game where I'm just a villain and a terrible man, and I win.
That's not why you started the game, either. Like,
yeah, exactly.
If you go into a game being like, oh, I get to be the bad guy, and then you end up being good, you'd be like,
Yeah, but I thought that was such a fun idea, and the way they handled it seems really good. It's just annoying, obviously, that the whole game is an anime, basically.
Because you have strong feelings against it.
I'm just like, it just didn't have to be. That's so at odds with being like, if we're like, oh, we're like a fun satire of like early 90s and 80s side-scrolling games. Don't make them for some reason anime as well. That
but what if
annoying.
Anime?
That's like an
what
anime
if Mario?
Trope,
but anime.
Yeah.
That's like super anime being like the bad guy. Ooh, romantic.
Yeah, oh, it's very annoying. But
Spyro 3 does that. Anyway.
But despite all of that, I just love the concept so much, and I love the way they did it, where like collecting a princess gives you a power, and
yeah.
Well, I think that's so unique and so cool. And the gameplay is also very floaty and annoying, and sometimes you're like, did I hit that guy? I just can't tell. I'm getting no feedback. But despite all that, I still want to give it 3 thumbs out of 5 because
they tried.
They tried, and I wish, basically, I'm like, I wish somebody with a bigger budget and maybe a better direction for what they want out of that game had taken the idea and made like a different game.
So you're giving it 3 thumbs, hoping that a developer is looking for a fresh new idea
and
for a new AAA title. And they're like, wow, the thumb crampers, they gave the 3 thumbs up.
I reckon we could turn that
into a 4.
So you've just given this basically like a 3 out of 5 only on
the idea.
Yes.
And the concept.
Because I just think it's a great concept, but I also think that the mechanics are really cool as well.
Okay. You know,
it's just that they haven't been pulled off perfectly.
All right.
Yeah. So you know, story,
really
mechanics,
fun.
Great. No, not story. Concept, mechanics, great. That's
story,
that's the 3 thumbs. And then it's losing 2 thumbs for anime and story and floaty gameplay.
Yeah, all right.
Did you have fun while you were playing it?
Yes, but it also became frustrating because of that floatiness. Mm. So the underwater level, great concept. We're using the boss machine that we use. Super cool, but so slow. And hard to control, and I didn't know where my health was, and in the end I was just annoyed and it ended, and I was like, oh, okay, well, but great concept and fun mechanic idea. So that's why, yeah, three thumbs out of five. Nefarious, check it out. I still recommend it because, again, cool idea, cool mechanics, but yeah, lose those 2 points for being an anime. Those two thumbs are.
And JD,
yeah, what are you playing?
I took some inspiration from a passing comment on one of our episodes of Thumb Cramps from like a month ago, and I recently bought and have been playing Ape Escape 2 for the PS2, heck, but on the PS4.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
So it's available on the PS4 store, like the PS store. Mm-hmm. So it is just the port of the PS2 version. No fanciness. Mm-hmm. Plays exactly the same. Looks exactly the same. Is very dated. I don't know what the plot of the game is, because, like,
apes
Jackson
have escaped.
Yeah, I think it's something to do with the fact that you accidentally gave apes pants, but also hats that made them smart.
And one ape decided to travel through time.
Yeah.
Oh, that might be the third one. Or is he traveling all over the world in this one? One of them's time, one of them's the world, and I forget what the first one is.
This one, it might. I don't think it. If it is time, it's not clear.
That's good.
The apes have escaped, and I am a boy, a British boy, sent by British professors to take down a British ape that orchestrated this whole event. I'm not sure if I'm a good guy or a bad guy. I mean, the game is like, you're a good guy, but also, like, I'm often just hitting apes with bats.
Yeah, they're not doing anything nefarious, generally.
No. They're just wearing hats with lights on them. So the best place to start with this is, one, it was cheap. That was good. They've incorporated achievements to it, which is good. Unlike the Spyro remaster, they've put achievements in places that make sense. So when you beat a boss, you get an achievement. When you beat the game, you get an achievement. Good. Which also means that they haven't updated things like the controls.
Yeah.
The camera. Oh,
just garbage?
And like the way that you save the game. So you have to. The game thinks that you have a memory card, but you don't.
What?
So good, let's start with the controls. You control your character, whose name I forget. Here it starts with an H.
Yeah.
You control that with the left stick on the PlayStation controller. Mm. You control his weapons or net or whatever gadget you're using with the right stick.
Okay.
So you can control the way that you swing the net. Not in like a, if anyone played like Twilight Princess or something like that on the Wii, where if you swung the Wiimote in a certain way, or Skyward Sword, sorry, the sword would follow that. No, it's just the direction that you swing your thing. The gadgets are controlled by X, square, triangle, and circle. Pressing them equips another one.
Okay.
So, what button would you put jump? So X is usually the classic jump button.
Yeah, you would imagine.
No, that's the equipped net button.
Sorry, my mistake. I would circle.
No, that's the equipped third gadget you unlock.
Is it one of the triggers?
Yep.
R2.
What?
I'd have gone R1, maybe?
Yeah,
doing
that seems a bit more reasonable.
Actually, I think both of them jump. They are both jump buttons, R1 or R2.
Okay.
The first-person look mode is L2, and L1 swings the camera behind you.
Of course.
Apart from that, you cannot control the camera at all, and it is a nightmare. So often I'll be like, hey, there's an ape. I'll just go swing my net at it. Swing the net. The camera doesn't move. I'm now just looking at a boy and a corner of a level, and it won't swing around because I'm facing the wrong way. So that's
sometimes
good.
Sometimes you want to look at a boy in a corner of a
level. Yeah, all the levels are very, 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 very similar. Like, I did a casino level. That was cool because some of the apes had guns.
Oh.
And one of them had an afro. Well, that was good. Afro and disco pants.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's specific apes in different era. I remember I have played and finished Ape Escape 1 and about 2 years ago, maybe 3, Ape Escape 1, 2, and 3. And I remember thoroughly enjoying them. So
The controls are very floaty. The jump does like a real like weird like you jump, but you're in the air for ages and you can't double jump until you get to the very top of the jump. And then the second jump is way worse because he does like this weird like mid-air kick thing.
Okay.
A lot of the gadgets are basically impossible to use. It's another 3D platformer game, much like Spyro. They got very excited about the fact that they can do underwater bits. So the start of the game is just all underwater bits.
Is the starting level of this one like a prehistoric level?
Wait a second. Monkeys can't swim.
Monkeys can swim. You shoot them with a net out of your aqua something.
That's right. Oh, man. Oh, man. Ape Escape rules.
It's $15 on the PS4 store.
I'm getting it. I want to play Ape Escape again.
No, the first level is the Statue of Liberty, but it's an ape.
Yes. No, now I'm remembering. What happened? Do you have the helicopter gadget yet?
No. I've got the dash hoop, which is the most annoying thing in the world to use,
the
though.
The dash hoop rule!
So to use the dash hoop, you equipped it, and then it's a hula hoop, so you've got to rotate the right stick, and then you let go, and it shoots you in a direction, but you also can't continuously use it, and if you hit something, you stop. I just got the RC car as well.
Oh, yeah, classic, to get ape to press buttons and get apes in complicated areas and chase apes out of areas.
Apes famously do hate RC cars.
They're so afraid of it.
That makes sense. Okay. Yeah. Look. It is a game.
It sounds like maybe a bit garbage from your perspective.
Could you perhaps compliment it contextually for its time?
I remember playing it when it came out and I thought it was very hard.
Yeah. Okay.
Does it remain very hard?
No.
So you just got smarter. That's not the game's fault.
I think the thing is that now I'm very used to two controller sticks, where when I was originally playing it, I had a Nintendo 64, which only had one, but it still required three hands to use.
Yes.
So I think the idea of trying to move with the right stick and the left stick at the same time in different directions, my 11-year-old brain was like, no, Joel, you can't do that. But now 27-year-old Joel brain is like, yes, Joel, you can do that. Why are you doing this? Surely there's washing or something you need to do.
I miss the Nintendo 64 control.
Yeah, it's great. It was like, hey, idiot, there's three handles. You got two hands, best of luck. Yeah,
there are a million buttons. Z?
By the way, you think that you got some buttons? Oh, turn it over. Here's a sneaky one.
Got rid of Z.
Yeah, bring back Z.
I like Z. It was good.
There was a secret button. I never had an N64.
There was underneath, so the you had it like this, and there was a little trigger.
You know what
button.
A Nintendo 64 controller looks like?
Yes.
Yeah, so good. on the long middle bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
There was a button underneath. So, it was made to be like a joystick. Like,
a trigger. It was good. It was like, if you had any kind of shooting game, it was perfect.
That's cool.
It was so good.
Targeting Loved system it. In the Zelda games?
Yeah, absolutely. Ah, bring it back.
Bring back,
that's
look.
Ass.
I'm holding a Switch in my hand. Button here. Yeah. Right in the middle
Imagine
of the back
the
of the
PlayStation
console.
PlayStation 4 controller and just smack bang in the middle in a place you cannot reach.
Perfect.
A button.
Although, button. The reason that... PlayStation didn't do it is because L2 and R2 are basically triggers anyway.
They're secret Z buttons.
Yeah, except they're not secrets. You don't have to whisper to your friend to find it.
Hey, do you remember when you would... This is a little off track, but do you remember when you would buy a third-party controller and it would have the turbo button?
Yes!
And you were like, what does it do? And some games it did stuff and other games it didn't.
I can tell you what the turbo button's for.
What? Yes?
It's rapid press.
Yeah, it's rapid firing, A or whatever. So the best thing was sometimes have auto and turbo or auto turbo.
Yeah.
So what you do if you're ever playing a Switch Mario wrestling Party. Game, you'd be like, yes, turbo A, which or whatever was a grappling one, and then just leave. And then your mate would just be on screen just trying to grapple you. And of course, you'd always lose if they got you in their grasp and then they'd choke you out.
That's great.
What a time.
Hell yeah, turbo.
Yeah, bring back third-party controllers. I wanted Switch controllers where there's a third joystick that does questionable things.
Or a sneaky Z button.
A sneaky Z button.
Bring back the Z.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
But yeah, Ape Escape doesn't hold up. Two thumbs.
I give it five thumbs from memory.
Actually, sorry, Ape Escape 2. I should probably clarify.
Yeah.
Hold up too. That's still something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm still playing it. I probably still will keep playing it.
For a
bit.
I guess
it's that one annoying thing where I've made a lot of progress in a short period of time. So I'm like, well, I might as well just keep playing.
You might as well
the
finish
Spyro it. Curse.
I think there's a term called sunk fallacy.
Yeah. Well, sunk cost fallacy.
Yeah.
I mean, fallacy. I've spent it's. I'm 2 hours in. I'm 26 or 27% of the game.
It.
I might
you
as
may
well.
As well. Oh. Yeah.
There's only so many loose apes.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotta get that helicopter thing you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what it does. I think it makes you float up.
Yeah,
maybe
that makes sense.
You hold it above your head, possibly.
Yeah, it sounds like a useless gadget for a game that will come in handy for one thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the later levels will have a gadget that is useful for those levels and those levels alone.
I got a slingshot. That's fine.
Sometimes you gotta hit the apes.
Yeah, I gotta hit the ape. I gotta go back to level one and hit the ape off the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah,
he's still changing it to an ape, and if I hit him with a slingshot, he falls down, and then I'll hit him with a net.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I miss Ape Escape. I'm definitely getting it.
All right, well, on this glowing review, someone has bought the game, so consider this a sponsorship, Sony.
So I guess all up today, 9 thumbs and a knuck.
That's pretty...
low.
Yeah. 15.
Yeah, 9.5 out of 15.
Yeah, that's rough. That's not even... Yeah.
You got 15 thumbs and you only get 9 thumbs and a knuck. You're not happy with that.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, well, look, we tried. We did. We were just honest.
Remake Ape Escape, but with controls that make sense, please.
Make nefarious, but good, please.
Let me pat other Pokemon, but not Persian when I don't want to.
Let me check rocks.
Please let me check every rock, because I keep being like, maybe I should just stop checking rocks, and then I'll find something and be like, now I still have to check every rock.
There's an item in the earlier games that lets you, like, is there a secret item around here?
I hate that one.
I never used
it. Waste so much time. You know what's it called? Item finder or something?
Yeah, and it's like a weird tracker. I never knew how to use
it. It's like beep, beep. Oh, there's an item near me.
And it's never, you're like, oh, a Pokeball. Hooray.
In Pokemon's defense, it is making you interact with the Pokemon more than you might not have usually done.
That's true.
Yeah, but good.
It's Persian. That was basically a nonsense sentence, so it was not true.
Sure was. I kind of got lost in my own words.
I think maybe it will help.
Pat that cat! Ignore the rocks! Remake Ape Escape 2, but good.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
I've also been Joel.
I've been Cass.
Stay true to your thumbs, thumbers.
Thumbos?
Thumb believers. I don't think I've made that joke before.
Rest in peace, Stanley.
Thanks for listening. If you want to watch just how competent or incompetent we are at video games, head on over to twitch.tv/sanspantsradio, where you'll see us and other members of the Sanspants Network live stream some of our favorite video games.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.